Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
All right, it's another Safety Pro episode again, and this is going to be a Q&A episode. I got a lot of good response on the last one. So what I did was I took some common questions that I get asked a lot, and I went ahead and I curated this information and I put them into categories. So today it's going to be about record keeping. That seems to be, you know, one of the biggest topics that I get quizzed about by clients, folks that I know, colleagues. It's all about record keeping and recordability, okay? So I've got several questions we're going to go through here. Well, the first one right out of the gate is, can the employer get a citation from OSHA if their employee does not follow the recommended work restrictions? So this is an example would be an injured worker goes to the doctor, it's recordable, and they get prescribed some sort of work restriction or whatever. All right. So, according to 1904.7, B as in boy, 4, V as in Victor, I. Boy, that's a long one. That deals with the recordability of cases in which a physician or some other healthcare professional has recommended some sort of work restriction. The section states that the employer, and this is key, should ensure that the employee complies with the recommended restrictions. Should. Now, that language is strictly advisory. It does not impose an enforceable duty upon the employers to ensure that employees actually comply with the recommended restrictions. Here's the problem you're going to have. Is if you worsen or exacerbate that injury because you're not following it, you're just going to cause more problems. You're going to basically add more length to the time that they're on light duty, driving up your recordability rate, okay? So, or your DART rate, I should say. That's key. You want to make sure you manage injured workers appropriately. I don't even know why this question came up. I'll be honest with you. If I had an injured worker, and forget, you know, we're past the fact that it's a recordable or that it did or did not happen, but I have a worker that comes back and the doctor says, hey, Blaine can't, you know, hop on his right foot. And, you know, and I look, you know, somebody looks at me and goes, Blaine, I don't really care if you hop on your right foot. It's really just a suggestion. Why? I don't get it. But that question was asked, so there you go. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Are exercises that an employee does as a form of physical therapy recordable in and of themselves? Okay, now OSHA says that exercises that basically amount to self-administered physical therapy, meaning they're normally recommended by a healthcare professional who trains, you know, employees on proper frequency, duration, intensity of the exercises, then they are considered physical therapy and are recordable. Physical therapy treatments are normally provided over an extended time, period of time, as therapy for an injury or illness, and they are considered to be beyond first aid. So self-administered physical therapy, if I have an employee who decides to stretch every day before their shift just because they know their physical body and I say, hey, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Supervisor, I'm just going to stretch for 5 minutes before I unload this truck and I'm good to go. That's self-administered. But anything that would be, you know, prescribed as a result of something happening in the workplace, okay, that's going to throw it into physical therapy. or something that's prescribed. Whether you do it or not is irrelevant. And the documentation is going to be key. For example, if I'm an employee and I go to, I call the infirmary, I'm in a manufacturing plant, and I call the licensed nurse practitioner or I call the doctor on call and I say, hey, doc, is it a good idea for me to stretch before I unload this truck? And the doctor says, yes, I always recommend that everybody stretch before they unload a truck. Well, that's sort of just good, you know, best practice. The question is, hey, doc, I hurt my back and I suffer from back spasms from unloading this truck. How do I prevent it from happening? Well, I'm going to make sure I tell you that from this point forward, as a result of that, you should stretch your back. Then you're getting into another area. I would always have everything documented, whether or not this was a result of a workplace incident that occurred or a prolonged or chronic condition that developed from an exposure to the workplace environment, and then have the physical therapy, or exercise or physical therapy documented as such, and then you're good. You see somebody stretching and you're like, hey, what's going on? Ah, no, I just like to stretch before I, you know, before I do certain things. Okay, that's great. Let me know if you have any problems, you know? So there you go. There's that second one. Third question. If an employee requests light duty before an injury happens, is it recordable? Okay. Preventative measures taken to protect employees from injury are not recordable. Remember the previous question, stretching, right? So if you have an employee that complains of discomfort and asks for lighter duty or temporary transfer and is still capable of performing his or her normal job duties, that's not considered a recordable incident. And this has happened in my past. An employee said, hey, my back's getting sore. I'm just wondering if I could have so-and-so do this instead. You would ask, hey, if you had to continue this, would you be able to? And they would say, yeah, it's just a little sore. And, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, take some ibuprofen tonight. I want to go play softball, whatever. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and transfer you to that other job and bring so-and-so over here to do this. Only because you would be able to continue to function, you know, in your job. Again, document this stuff. That's the only way you're going to get around it is to document it, okay? However, if the transfer or restricted duty is necessary because the employee experienced too much pain or discomfort to actually continue normal duties, then that has to be recorded on the injury illness log, okay? And this can include restricted duty days, even if the restricted duty was not recommended by a physician or a licensed healthcare professional. If you remove the worker from the task or the worker has to be removed from the task or the job because of experiencing too much pain, they cannot continue. Doesn't matter if a doctor said to do it or not. It's recordable. Okay. So those are some common questions for recordability that I've gotten that are kind of off the wall, not normal. The most frequently asked question is, how do I determine if an injury is work-related in general, okay? All right, so an injury or illness is recordable if it is work-related, if it is a new case, and if it meets one or more of the general or specific recording criteria that OSHA lays out. So I'm going to go through some exceptions to this and some examples. It is considered work-related if an event or an exposure in the work environment either causes or contributes to the injury or illness, or if it significantly aggravates a pre-existing injury or illness. That's key because I've come across a lot of clients that'll say, hey, I know Johnny's knee was hurting before he got here. Now, all of a sudden, after half a day of climbing off and on that forklift, he's now not able to do it. Well, time out. If he was able to climb on and off the forklift when he got here, it's just throughout the day of repeated, you know, work exposure, it worsened the pre-existing condition. I'm sorry, I hate to tell you, you're going to own that injury, okay? That's going on the 300 log of injuries and illnesses. That's a recordable, okay, because of that statement right there. So work-relatedness is always going to be presumed for injuries and illnesses resulting from events or exposures occurring in the work environment unless some of the following exceptions apply. So I'm going to go through some exceptions. In general, what that statement means is if you develop an injury or illness while at work, it's presumed. The presumption is that the work environment contributed to or caused it. Some exceptions would be at the time of the injury or illness, maybe the employee was present in the work environment, but only as a member of the general public, not as an employee. So here's an example. An employee works at a lumber yard and is shopping at their place of employment outside of working hours. They are present as a member of the general public, not as an employee. Or they voluntarily come in they're off shift and they're coming in to pick up a coworker. They're not required to be on prem or on the premises and something happens. Here's another exception. If the injury or illness involves signs or symptoms that surface at work but result solely from non-work-related events or exposures that occurred outside the work. Here, the most common example is if an employee has an epileptic seizure, they fall and break their arm. The seizure are the symptom of a disease of non-occupational origin. Because the seizures are not work-related, injuries resulting solely from the seizure are not recordable. I hope that makes sense to you guys. So here's another exception. If the injury or illness results from voluntary participation in a wellness program or in a medical, fitness, or recreational activity, such as a blood donation, like a blood drive at lunch, or a physical exam, a flu shot, exercise class, racquetball, baseball, doesn't matter, any of those things. So an example is an office employee twists an ankle while playing basketball during a lunch break. It's not work-related. That would not go on the OSHA 300 log. The injury or illness is solely the result of an employee eating, drinking, or preparing food or drink for personal consumption, whether bought on the premises or brought in. That's another exception to the record-keeping requirement. This gets tricky. Here, let me give you the example. An employee is injured by choking on a sandwich while at the employer's establishment. The injury is not work-related. Here's a note. If the employee is made ill by ingesting food contaminated by workplace contaminants like lead or something like that, or they get food poisoning from food supplied by the employer, now you're back into the record-keeping requirement. It's going on the 300 log. Does that make sense? I hope it does. You guys, any of these examples, if you need clarity, just shoot me an email, customerservice@consulthoffman.com, two F's and two N's on Hoffman, okay? So if there's another exemption, and I've written several of these down, but if the injury or illness is solely the result of an employee doing personal tasks that's unrelated to their employment at the establishment, outside of their assigned working hours. So if you use a company break area to work on your kid's science project, then you're engaged in a personal task. If you bring your shoes in to polish them or relace them that's not required, or your sneaker shoe, or you're doing something in the break room not related to work and it's on your own time, any injury occurring there would not be recordable. How about whether or not the injury or illness is solely the result of personal grooming, self-medication for a non-work-related condition, or is an intentional self-infliction? So, oh gosh, this one gets weird too. Let's say an employee is using drugs, illegal or prescription, or alcohol. They become impaired and suffer an injury. That's a result of self-medication, not work-related. This is key, folks. You could have an operator of a forklift taking NyQuil or who knows what and gets injured or something. If that was a result of self-medication, that is not recordable. Keep that one in mind. How about if the injury or illness is caused by a motor vehicle accident, occurs on a company parking lot or company access road while you're commuting to or from work. If you're struck by a vehicle and suffer a broken leg, then the injury is a result of something that occurred outside the work environment. Okay. But if an employee slips on ice and suffers a broken arm, no vehicle is involved, the injury is work-related and recordable because the parking lot is under the custody and control of the employer. And that's a weird one, okay? Just remember that. If the employee's injury, or I'm sorry, their illness is the common cold or flu, okay? Now, here's an exception to that exception. Contagious diseases like TB, hepatitis A, or even a plague, they're considered work-related if you're infected at work. Common cold or flu are exemptions, okay? Here's another exemption to the record-keeping requirement. The illness is a mental illness. A mental illness, it will not be considered work-related unless the employee voluntarily provides the employer with an opinion from a physician or other licensed healthcare professional with appropriate training and experience, either psychiatrist, psychologist, psychiatric nurse, practitioner, etc. And if that states that the employee has a mental illness that is work-related, here's a good example, post-traumatic stress or hostile work environment, developing anxiety from either bullying or workplace violence or an unhealthy or hostile work environment, you're going to get into some areas there you don't want to be messing around in when it comes to record-keeping, okay? So, again, a recordable mental illness would be either a compressed gas cylinder explodes and it surprises but doesn't injure an employee in the area. The employee is shaken, seeks professional psychiatric help, and they recommend 2 days off to recover. That would be lost time. So, because it was a direct result of something that happened in the workplace. These have happened. A catastrophe. An employee witnessing the severe injury of a coworker, blood, a loss of a limb, something that was horrific or that just put them into shock, and they, as a result, developed either a mental or psychiatric, you know, illness as a result, even temporary. That's going to throw you into recordable. So, look, keep the questions coming. I love answering these, but, you know, we've just scratched the surface on record keeping. These are some of the most common ones that I come up with. One, you know, is it even recordable? Two, you know, what if they self-medicate? What if they self, you know, prescribe physical therapy? What if they ask to be transferred to another job and, you know, they haven't really reported an injury yet? These are all normal questions that I get. I wanted to throw them out there on a quick episode. Let me look at the time. Wow, this is going to be a quick one. So, 15, you know, just over 15 minutes. You guys can listen to this at work and get some good info. Let me know what you think. Go to the website, consulthoffman.com, or shoot me an email at customerservice@consulthoffman.com. I want to hear your questions. I will answer them on the air. So until next time, be safe.
Thanks for listening to the Safety Pro Podcast. Be sure to visit www.consulthoffman.com for articles and information about safety services. To have Blaine read your question on the show, email him at customerservice@consulthoffman.com. Be sure to have two F's and two N's on Hoffman. Until next time, be safe.